Hi, hello, and welcome to Checkpoint by Finance Middle East. My name is Beatriz Valero, and today I'm joined by James Ramsam, Digital Transformation Director at Backbase. Hi, James. How are you doing today?
Hi, Beatriz. Nice to be here. I'm doing well, thank you, in what is a cloudy and overcast day in Amsterdam.
Yes, well, here in Dubai, it's very sunny and very warm, so a bit different, but we're very happy to be able to speak to you. So the topic for today's podcast is the digital neo banking revolution in the region, specifically the Middle East. So maybe just to start, James, tell us a little bit about what are the main factors that are just driving the rise of digital banking in the Middle East?
Would it make sense for me to just give a brief introduction of myself? Because I think that might add a little bit context.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm a digital transformation director at Backbase. I work very closely with banking executives on some of our heavyweight projects to ensure that we deliver really on the expectations that we set out during the sales process. We also focus really on deepening our understanding of the bank's digital strategy, progress also in evolving the operating model of the bank and assessing really how Backbase can really close the loop on some of those gaps in the maturity of the operating model. My clients really are focused across the Middle East, do a lot of work in Saudi. I also do a little bit of work in Central Eastern Europe. Your question was on what are the main factors promoting the rise of digital banking? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Middle East is very different from any other region I've worked in. I come from South Africa, so I've worked in the emerging markets. I've done 5 years of work across Europe, mainly focused out of the Netherlands. And for the last 3 years, I've been focused, or 2.5 years, I've been focused specifically in the Middle East, mainly in Saudi, which I almost feel exemplifies the Middle East, if you will. Yeah, I think there are definitely some key factors that separate it from pretty much any other region that I've worked in. I think the one is that really stands out is there's something to prove. I remember a speech by the prince in Saudi who said, you know, that they want to be the next Europe. They want to be the next London. They really want to compete at the level of not only Europe and the UK, but the US. You really see that coming through in the support that the government is providing. So not only in terms of funding, but just in terms of structural planning. So in Saudi, for example, they've got the 2030 plan, and you know, you can see how the whole country is gearing up digitally. And of course, financial services is really at the heart of this this transformation as this country speeds up and again tries to get parity with the more developed markets in the world. You know, in Dubai and the UAE, you see the you know, the smart city initiatives, and of course, you know, banking is also at the heart of that. So I really see that the, you know, this region has this need to prove something, and again, the government is really supporting and getting behind them. I also see, and this maybe leverages a little bit about, you know, from my background in South Africa, is a country that is typically inhabited by people that are, say, sometimes unbanked or even underbanked is very different from a developed country where most people are almost overserved. And you also see how that shapes the banking arena. You get this real need for innovation. I always think that innovation really stems from a very core need. You know, innovation is a bit sluggish when the need really isn't burning. So this need to really solve financial inclusion and get the unbanked and underbanked up to speed in the Middle East really plays a key role in not only the speed of transformation, but also the type of solutions that are being launched and the difference that has to a developed market. That's quite interesting. Another one I find that is quite unique is the cultural angle. In Central Eastern Europe, where I also do business, I've done business in Portugal and in the Netherlands. When it comes to transformation programs, not only is money a big topic when it comes to the capital that will be deployed in doing the transformation, the capital that's deployed to hiring the consultants to do the direction setting, but also in terms of the value that will be contributed from the transformation program. Maybe it's the reduction of cost to income ratio, or, you know, what are the operational efficiencies coming from cost? But in the Middle East, it's less about the money to put behind transformation and less about the outcome on cost effectiveness, but more about the wow factor and speed. Those two really, really stand out. The wow factor in, you know, the UAE, like I said in the beginning, wants to leapfrog. They want to be the new standard for beyond banking. So if we're talking about that super app that moves beyond banking and kind of almost exemplifies embedded finance, that wow factor really is a key focus I see coming in UAE. But even though money may not be the biggest factor, of course, it is still a factor, but not the biggest, the speed is the most important thing. It's a commodity that, of course, no one can really buy, and that is getting to market first. Because there's a lot of competition moving into the Middle East, and getting to market with your solution and getting ahead of your competition is super key. So you see that real, real need for speed coming through in the implementations.
Amazing. Thank you very much. I think that was a great overview of like the reasons why banks are digitalizing, the reasons that are driving this trend. And I loved when you were speaking before about kind of that wow factor, but also the need to not only digitalize and innovate, but innovate with a purpose, like for a reason and not just for the sake of innovation. I feel like sometimes the idea that people have of a digital bank or a digital enterprise is not the same as what the solutions that are actually useful or necessary. So what are some of the practical solutions that digital banks should focus on in the region when they're, you know, embracing this digitalization?
You know, we can look at some of the success cases, I think, globally. I think the ones that stand out the most, really, if you look at the UK, it's a very concentrated market, but there's a lot of success cases there. You know, I think the ones that stand out to me are Starling Bank. Starling Bank, you know, followed a very kind of typical traditional approach to banking, but did it completely digitally. Revolut went really into the borders of beyond banking. You see how they made their mark on crypto. You've got Nubank in Brazil, you've got N26 in Germany, and you've got Bunk in the Netherlands. You've got, I would say, these key examples of digital challenges that really have, I think, effectively challenged traditional incumbent banks. And if I had to use those as benchmark cases to see what is happening or what probably should happen in the region to achieve a similar level of success, I think that is balancing two things. It's balancing getting the basics right, as well as being on the bleeding edge of innovation. It's the marriage between those two. If you're focused too much on the innovative side, on the wow factor, but without getting the basics right, it can come across as a bit gimmicky, right? And if you just focus on the basics without the innovation, then you don't have that wow factor that will get people to switch from their traditional bank into your digital challenger. So you really have to balance both of those. I think getting the basics right is really, really important. You know, starting with the digital onboarding process, it has to be lean, it has to be seamless, it has to be quick, and it just needs to be mobile. So it just needs to fly. 5 minutes, you've done your KYC, you've done your checks, you've done your authentication, you're in the home screen, and you're able to fund that account. It really needs to be that quick and that easy. When it comes to the payments and the transfers, you know, it needs to be that intuitive experience, less clicks, less screens, cut away the friction, and also allow a person to be able to customize their dashboard or customize their experience in the app, you know, bringing in that real need for hyper-personalization that we see globally. But then going into the wow factor, this is where you see, I think, also the Middle East making big strides and also other, you know, countries trying to catch up. Is if we look at, WeChat, probably as the greatest example of a super app coming from the East, that is a multi vendor platform, all integrated seamlessly into one app, you know. I think that is kind of where I see a lot of the wow factor coming in, is where you can potentially establish a marketplace that allows you to buy movie tickets, allows you to buy a gym subscription, or you know, allows you to engage in a marketplace for services that are attractive. But coupled with that could be a loyalty system, and a loyalty system is tied into, you know, promoting good financial behavior. So if you're transacting in a way that is healthy and that the bank is promoting, you can be rewarded with these type of loyalty points, which can be converted into a fiat currency that can be then used in the exchange on the marketplace to buy something that you want. Now, if you have that type of that marketplace and that loyalty embedded seamlessly within the app, you know, to me, this is like the starting point of really kind of moving beyond banking and not just being this utility, this banking app to do a financial transaction, but starting to become something that people are really excited about.
Nice. That's really exciting. Definitely you can see how all the things are coming together and just moving towards the future. Obviously, we see so many neo banks entering the sectors. Do you think all banks will be digital in the future? Will they spell the end of traditional banking, or can they both coexist?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've been in banking now for 21 years, and I do remember I would say about 12 years ago, maybe 10, where everyone was talking about digital challenges, right? This was it. Basically, I think there was even a famous quote by Bill Gates saying, the world doesn't need banks, it needs banking, or something along those lines. And you know, you saw all these messages. I even especially remember Monzo with all these banks are dead. And I think people wanted change so much that we all embrace this narrative of, well, traditional banks are dead. You know, the digital challenges are now here. But that hasn't happened, right? If you look at the market share of traditional banks that's been taken by these digital challenges, I mean, it's tiny. It really is negligible. Of course, I'm not talking about all fintechs. So if you look in the payment space, I mean, gosh, these paytech companies have completely eroded the market share. I would say not completely, maybe that's an exaggeration, but have really dented the market share when it comes to the money that banks were making off payments. But when it comes to a full-scale digital bank, they haven't really made a huge dent. And you've got to ask yourself why. Again, I think it comes down to managing that balance between getting the basics right and having the wow factor. I still think that a lot of banks are trying to find that balance and kind of make a meaningful impact there. So what you often see is people still stick with their traditional bank, but also have an account with Revolut or Monzo or Starling or whatever it may be. So what's happened is these digital challenges have created a situation of being multi-banked, because also the fees of having a bank account have come down. So people can be multi-banked. I have, for example, 5 bank accounts, but I have 1 primary, and my primary is with a traditional bank. And then you've got to ask yourself, okay, well, if people are multi-banked, then why don't they just move their primary account to the likes of a new digital challenger? And I think it comes down to one word, and that's trust. Traditional banks, for everything that they've gone through, they still have the trust of people. Even after the credit crisis of 2008, people still trust these large businesses, these corporations, with their money. And are still willing to play on the edges and be a first adopter or an early adopter of a digital challenger, but they still trust an incumbent with their money. Now, if you couple that trust with the fact that these traditional banks have spent billions upon billions in playing catch up, you also realize that, well, hang on, my traditional bank, I mean, yeah, it's not the Revolut, but it's also not that bad. You know, I can still do everything I need to do. I can request money. I can pay money. I've got my expense and income categorization. I can still do a customer support live chat in my app. I've still got the basics that are completely digital. So it's almost the burning problem or the need to switch your primary account isn't strong enough, I think, to get that mass migration from traditional banks to digital challenges. So my prediction is that digital challenges will continue and they will get bigger and they will erode more market share from the traditional banks. But given the amount of capital that these traditional banks are putting in to staying alive and the partnerships that they're investing in with various fintech type companies, I think these traditional banks are definitely here to stay. I don't think that they're going to give up that easily and become a utility or worst case scenario, discontinue.
This episode is a two-parter. You've listened to part one, and please check back in next week for the second part of our interview with James Ramsam.